It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show.
928-854-5687. That's 854-5687.
Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
And welcome to Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Why? It's the first Wednesday of the month, and our co-host is here, Dan De Los Santos.
Thank you, Paul.
I don't really think it's host and co-host. I think it's just co-host and co-host. What do you think?
I'm good. You know, we always make it work.
Right. We got a very, very special show today. Pretty much a dedication to the Dixie Belle. And, right?
What'd
you say?
I gotta tell you, today's show is really special to me, Keith, and our captains here in the studio. We have, Todd Miller, who's gonna be calling in here, shortly, and he's the original builder, he's the original owner, and he was the original captain of the Dixie Belle. And so, I gotta tell you, it's really, an honor to have him coming onto the show. He'll be calling in shortly, and, you know, such an amazing day on Monday when that boat went in the water. Gotta tell you, it was the most momentous thing I've ever seen. The turnout, both at the launch ramp on the road down to the to Windsor Beach, and also the greeting that the community provided the Dixie Belle when she came into dock for the first time in 10 years. What a great turnout, and I can't thank all the people enough that showed up for it, and we had so many different contributors, and Keith's going to go through that on the thanks. Big thanks to the Lake Havasu City Museum of History, who showed up with gals that were all dressed up in the turn of the century outfits
for a
photo shoot.
Yeah,
we had a full production crew with video equipment, drones. We had photography crews. We had everybody that's working as a team with the Dixie Belle owners to make sure that we create some amazing pieces.
I got to give a shout out to Jillian Danielson, because some of the shots that she produced that ended up on Facebook, wow. Just great lens work, lighting, backlighting, everything. Just a fantastic job. I know she's probably listening today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and she also did some great night shots with the bells, lights on and everything, which is really a whole other aspect of this boat in the evening hours underneath the bridge. So we're waiting for Todd, but you know, one of the things that comes to mind is 10 years in the making to get the boat to where it was at on Monday. There are so many volunteers that were involved. A few hundred people chimed in and made this day happen for the owners. And so, you know, until we get Todd online, and hopefully he got the right phone number, which I believe he did.
Well, I know someone here that was instrumental in that rebuild, and he's right here at the table. Isn't that right, Dan?
That's correct.
All right, Keith Fernung.
Hello, how are you?
You're back.
I am back again.
Yeah,
it's been a couple days.
Right. This time we got you here in the studio. We had you on the phone. Was it Friday? Yeah, right before the launch.
Yes.
Yeah.
All days have kind of ran together since then, but that's, I believe you're correct.
Okay.
So, you know, as we're bringing Todd on here in a minute, you know, what, you know, you and I got a chance to speak with Todd a little bit.
Yes, that was amazing.
It was really great. His daughter put us in touch, right?
Yes. She actually, through Facebook, yep.
Right. So she chimed in and said, my dad built that boat.
Yes.
And boy, and then I think you chimed in and says, would that be Todd Miller?
Oh, I jumped right on that, yes. We've been looking for him for a while, Dan. You've been helping me. We've been trying to find him.
You know, Todd is that missing link that really links the whole boat together, ties it all in, and tells us about the original days when he was building it and, of course, putting it on the water for the first time. And his
right.
experience is what I'm anxious to hear about today.
Well, if Todd was the original owner, builder, captain of the Dixie Belle, and I take the name before that too, right?
Yes, it was the River Queen. When
the
he
River
built
Queen.
It. Yes.
How old is he now?
I want to say he's 69 or 70.
Oh,
I
that's
believe.
Not too bad.
Yeah, not too
okay.
bad at all.
I believe he said he was only 28 when he started building the boat.
Oh my
so
goodness!
So he was a very young man when he started the project. Yes.
So there's pieces of or parts or sections of that original design that are still in place.
Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot of the boat.
No kidding.
I know we planned on talking about that last time, and I think we got sidetracked. We saw something shiny.
Right.
But, yeah. But yes, we.
That happens with me and you.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, but they yeah, there's a lot of the boat that's still original. And of course the entire design is still original. But most of the wood, most of the structure, most of everything, it's back to the way he
right.
designed it. And
Dan, should I open up the phone line as well, the regular
oh, no,
caller
absolutely.
Line,
yeah,
for those
okay.
pioneers who
absolutely.
May want to call in with memories?
Let's share that phone number with them.
Memories of the Dixie Belle or even the River Queen.
Yes.
928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, and I believe...
I think you got Todd.
I do, but I'm going to, hopefully, Todd, can you call back? I have to configure something here in the studio. So I'll take care of that. I thought it was configured already, but for some reason it went off. So, anyway, it's 854-KNTR, 854-5687. And while I configure this little, piece of Bluetooth technology, you said you had found a floor mural. Right?
Yes, yes.
That's interesting, but you had to break it up.
Yeah.
For those people who weren't listening last Friday, go ahead and explain what you were talking about.
So when we pulled the carpet up on the downstairs, in between the two restrooms in the rear, there was a huge mosaic made out of small pieces of tile with a big RQ on it for the River Queen.
Wow.
And it was amazing, but it was – actually, I talked to Todd the other day about it and just found this out after you and I talked – that the reason I couldn't get it, because I had tile people come try to get it up. The reason I couldn't get it up is Todd actually used tar to put them in.
Oh, right, right.
Remember him telling us that? Because he was worried about the vibration it coming off. So, yeah, there was no way for me to get that off of there.
That was his voicemail I'm getting. So
he's calling back.
Oh, good, 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 good. So, yeah, we're ready for that call whenever he's ready.
Good,
so.
Good.
That's something. And you got pictures of that, of course.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
We have so many pictures we have to dig through, but yeah.
I got you.
But that was interesting to hear why I couldn't get it up.
So we should have him on the phone. Todd, are you with us? Hello, Todd. Let's see. You know what? It still is not getting it done. Darn it. So I'm gonna have to configure this this little piece of technology again and see if we can get this done. Anyway, go ahead, Dan.
Why don't you share what the condition was of the boat when you got a hold of it?
So the biggest issue was the hull was not Coast Guard certified anymore. It had a lot of electrolysis issues over the years, a lot of just – it was thin in a lot of places. You could actually see the electric go through it. I don't know a lot about, obviously, what had gotten it to that condition, but the Coast Guard definitely would not give it a new COI. So then the process started to replace that hull,
right,
which was a massive undertaking. Then once, of course, we got that hull done, which once you pull any part out on a boat, you find other parts. You take a piece of metal out, now you've got stringers. You start replacing stringers, now you've got bulkheads. It becomes just a massive undertaking. Once we got through with that, though, of course, the boat had sat so long, and plus there were so many other electrical issues, plus bringing the boat up to the 2021 code, because last time it had a COI was like in the 80s. So now everything has to be different. Even from just a half-inch pipe, now it has to be a three-quarter. Or closing off nowadays there has to be closing vents for bathrooms and stuff due to fires. Just, you know, technology and safety has changed a lot in 30 years, so we had to bring it all up to the current code, which was another massive undertaking.
When you got her in the water, the big girl,
yeah,
as you called her before, when you got her in the water, was it did it perform like you thought it would?
You know what?
She hasn't been in the water in 10 years, right?
She didn't perform at all like I thought I would. She performed so much better.
Uh-huh.
With Captain Debbie and Captain Wally behind the wheel, we got her out in the open. It took us. We did have a lot of difficulties leaving the launch ramp. Once we got her out in open water, though, and they started spinning her in circles, I was so impressed with how well she spun and
right.
turned. A lot of my friends were on board and my family, and all of them were like, this thing moves. I was like, and it feels like you're flying. I think we were doing 6, maybe 7, and it feels like you're doing 20. But
right.
it handles great.
With a little luck from the cosmos and the god, what is it, Nautilus or Neptune or whatever,
right?
Hopefully we have Todd on the line. Todd, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Ah, perfect. Hey. All right. The fifth time's a charm.
Yeah, we have, ladies and gentlemen, it's my honor to introduce Todd Miller, original owner, builder, and captain of the Dixie Belle. Thank you so much for being with us today, Todd, and sorry for the little difficulty at the beginning here, but now that we got you, do me a favor. Tell everybody about your initial stages, about what gave you the idea to build the Belle and some of the issues that you dealt with when you were building it.
Okay, yeah. Hey, first I want to say what a glorious day it's got to be at Lake Havasu. You sent me pictures of putting the boat in the water yesterday, and I can't tell you how happy I am to be back on the water. So the beginning of the River Queen was about 1980. I was running tour boats down there for Valley River Excursions, the big yellow banana boats, if you remember those.
Sure do.
And we saw a need. We were running gorge trips, Topak Gorge trips, 2-hour trips, and we were running Casito trips.
Wow.
And we saw a real need for a paddle wheeler, something slower, more comfortable. There were a lot of folks that just couldn't take those sled boats. Mm-hmm. So originally, me and Roger Leffler started plans on the boat, and what originally the boat was going to do was going to be a water taxi back and forth from Havasu, run a schedule to the landing, Havasu landing and back. So that's how it started out, and then things changed, and I wound up with the boat and decided just to make it into a paddle wheeler and a tour boat for doing local trips. So that's kind of how it started.
Well, thank goodness you had that vision.
It took a few years to build. A hull was built in San Pedro, California by R&R Reynolds Company. It's a barge-type hull. They built a lot of those hulls on the coast. So they built that and cut it in two pieces and folded it deck to deck and loaded it on a flatbed trailer and brought it to Havasu. And we put it together at Havasu Springs down at the south end of the lake.
Right.
There was at the time that we're building the Metropolitan was building the water intake down at Havasu Springs,
sure.
And they brought all their equipment, cranes and graded a big spot on the side of the lake, and that's where we put the hull together. And then I pulled it up to Havasu and started building the boat. And we first took it to the marina and had it in the back there and started building the structure, and then had to leave the marina. So we went around the island to put the course, and they let us go back to one of their coves there, and that's where I finished building the boat.
Who knew that the straws at the south end of the lake had a big part in building that boat, right?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
So, Todd, you know, you mentioned a really great story to Keith and I about the night that the Belle was about ready to go in the water. And I want you to share that one because I believe it entailed how tall the bridge was.
I love this story.
Yeah. So it was February 1983, exactly 38 years ago, you guys, that We did the maiden voyage with it was the River Queen originally. We did the maiden voyage underneath the bridge, and so as we were getting ready for that, it was on a Saturday, and the whole town, Havasu, was just hyped, and we knew there were going to be a lot of people, thousands of people, down under the bridge. We had live music. Lee Shoblum had the radio station down there. We were doing broadcasts. I think Channel 5 News, somebody was up from Phoenix filming it. So anyway, I'm laying in bed like three nights before all this is going to happen, and I'm running through my mind everything that could possibly go wrong, and it dawned on me that I had never really measured the height of the middle arch of the bridge, and the boat had never been under the bridge, so I started having a panic attack. I got up in the middle of the night, I grabbed a fishing pole, and I went down and walked out on the London Bridge and dropped a weight over and just started touching the top of the water to get an idea of how tall is the arch on the bridge. And so I hit the water, I pulled the line back up and laid it across the sidewalk on the bridge, and then I paced it off. And I knew the boat, the top of the smokestacks were the highest part of the boat, and I knew that was just right at 31 feet. And figured out the bridge. The lake was just about full pool. It was like a foot down from being full pool. So I deducted that, just did some rough math, and figured out that the arch of the bridge is about 36 feet. So I figured we got about 4 to 5 feet of clearance. And sure enough, the first time underneath the bridge, there were 5,000 people down there watching this. And I actually had one of the deckhands laying on the roof of the boat just to make sure we weren't going to hit the London Bridge.
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious. Keith, did you have the same concern?
So I'd already had this conversation with Todd, so I did not. But, however, when we went through the channel, I walked up to the roof, and the first time going under the bridge, I stood on the roof with a friend of mine, and I thought of Todd's story. So I ducked.
That's great. That's great.
Well, just in case his math was wrong.
Right.
Well, okay, well, I think we have time for a minute.
It actually goes through all the other two arches are not quite as high, but it goes through all of them just fine. So
I like that you still remember those numbers to this day.
Right.
So I think we got to take a break real quick, and we'll be right back with Todd Miller and Captain Wally and Captain Debbie and Keith Vernon, the new owner.
Right. And a song dedicated to Captain Wally and Captain Debbie. I'm Your Captain.
That's right.
By Grand Funk Railroad.
Hey, and we got to give a big thanks out to our sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning, today.
You beat me to it.
Yes, sir.
Of course, Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part every month by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie, a whole bevy of guests in the studio, on the phone. We got it going on this month on Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Stay with us. Speak Out in the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating, also Mojave Mortgage, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Horizon Community Bank, Springburg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, and by Connected Computer and Technology. If you miss any part of this show, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show is posted every month at KNTRTalk.com. And Dan, I think we're on 16?
16
shows.
Oh yeah, we're on the 16th show.
I call them episodes or something.
as the right. world turns around, Havasu.
Right, absolutely. We stream live at KNTRtalk.com as well. We have a bevy of people in the studio. Captain Wally, Captain Debbie, Keith Fernunger here. Todd Miller is still on the phone, the original owner, operator, builder, and captain of the Dixie Belle.
Right, and we're going to take some questions at the end of toward the end of our show, so bear with us, folks. But I'll tell you what, today I'm thrilled to be here with two captains of the boat, and we're going to start off with Captain Wally, Captain Wally Lowe, and he was the captain of the Dixie Belle from 2005 to 2008. Is that correct, Captain?
That's
so
right.
So why don't you tell us a little bit, start off with a little bit about what it was like driving the boat back then.
Well, it was quite an experience. It was a handful. A lot of captains wouldn't even attempt it. So it was a lot of things going on with the boat at that time. It wasn't really well maintained. And I can tell you there's a night and day difference between then and now, as I found out Monday. And so it was just a lot of things going on at that time. The channel was just getting busy, trying to get the boat through the channel. It was just a lot of things that I think I lost about a year of life every time I drove it.
Is there one memory in particular, positive or negative, that stands out?
I remember going through the channel into Thompson Bay, and at that time, they could park their boats all the way down the channel, including at the very end where it comes out quite a ways. And I think I barely make it. Now, the boat has a tendency to wander in the rear of the boat. In fact, somebody came up to me and asked me, "Do you ever look behind you?" And I said, "No, I never look behind me. It's scary, you know what, out of me."
Well,
so
hold on a second. When you say barely make it, are you talking about because of the
depth? Of the boats? So of course, the people with the biggest boats would park there.
Oh, I got you. And the tail end sticking out.
And the tail end sticking out. And so I remember going through there a few times, just like, there is no way I'm going to make it through here. But you know, you just sit on the horn and you just go. And the worst parts of driving the boat were through the channel on the weekends. And then a holiday, we just shut it down because there was no way we were going to get through on a holiday. But it's a very interesting boat to drive.
I got one more question. Did you ever do it during the MTV Spring Break weekend?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That must
have been
insane.
Even go there.
Very good.
Now, keep in mind that we're three stories up, so I can see everything. So it was very interesting during spring break.
So now the boats are bigger, Captain Wally. And so I can only imagine the level of difficulty that has escalated because of the size of the boats on our lake now.
Keith is biting his nails over here.
There was nothing Monday.
He's like, I had no idea.
I heard people screaming too when we went under the bridge, but I knew we were making it because I've done it so many times. But
right.
The boats got progressively bigger, and it just made it even more difficult. And one thing you have to do with that boat, as Todd probably knows, and Debbie knows, is that you have to keep moving. You can't stop. If you do, the wind catches it. Tremendous amount of windage, and it'll blow you right into the side of the channel. So that's the hard part. The hard part is keeping the boat going, and people stop, and they see the boat behind them, and they stop. I don't know why, but they stop. And I'm going, no,
yeah,
keep going. And but it has an excellent horn. Thank goodness.
So that three-story profile of the boat, it acts like a sail, doesn't it?
It is.
Wow.
It sails better than the sailboats I used to sail. So,
on Monday, we had a fishing boat sitting underneath the dead center of the channel. There were 1,000 people on the shoreline behind you going, "Get out of the way!" And the guy had deer eyes going, "What the heck is coming at me?" And I saw him dive for his throttles, and then he moved the boat.
I went around him. That and the sheriff boat and the boat in the narrowest part of the channel and the shallowest part of the channel. You know, I could write a book on that 45-minute drive there. It was pretty interesting. That and the you know, going through the Windsor side of the channel where it's very narrow and very shallow. And of course, that's about the spot that there were boats sitting there, and typical, and the sheriff boat, and everybody did a really, really good job. The boat handled beautiful, and everything was, I could not ask for a better first trip.
So, Captain Wally, did I hear you say you were navigating the vessel from the top?
Yeah, you're up in the wheelhouse, which is three stories up.
Wow, what a concept.
Right.
I told you she's a big girl.
When you're, that's what makes it so interesting when you're docking, because you really can't see the hull. So you don't know how far away from the dock you are, and it's very difficult. So you have to have somebody very good. And we had another captain on the dock, Captain Russ, that told me that you're good, and I could see him get the lines on. So it's just there's nothing easy about that boat when you're a captain. It's but it's a lot of fun. It makes you feel alive, let me tell you.
Well, I'll tell you, we were lucky because the last day, all of a sudden, here comes all our captains that we couldn't get a hold of for weeks, and all of a sudden we got three, and I can't thank them enough. I mean, Keith was like, "Woo! Thank goodness." So we're going to take a quick break real quick. We have Todd Miller on with us. We got Captain Wally, Captain Debbie, and we have Keith Vernong, the new owner. And our next speaker up will be Captain Debbie, and she's going to share a little bit about some of those last days before the boat got pulled out of the water next.
Perfect. All right, we're going to take a break on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul Lavoie, and brought to you every month, first Wednesday of the month, by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Stay with us. We'll be back on Speak Out. All of our running and all of our cunning, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane. Alright, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, the Chagrus family of restaurants, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by Esme Electric, Big Sky Insurance, Herb Zerbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, over 1,000 homes sold and counting. And also, of course, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, what an amazing day.
Had to play some Buffett, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What an amazing day in the studio. I got to tell you, I've got the best of the best here with us today. So, we've had some great comments from Captain Todd and from Captain Wally. So we've got Captain Debbie with us, who at the time in 2008, she was actually a deckhand. So she was on the boat the last year the boat had physically operated on the lake. And so, Captain Debbie, tell us a little bit about what your experience was.
The last day when we took her out of water for her 5-year out of water inspection with the Coast Guard, mm-hmm. Captain Kenny Samp, who yep. has Sunset, he was captain that day. And I was a deckhand with Larry West. And I said, "Captain Kenny, I've never put this on the trailer before. What are we going to do?" He said, "We'll figure it out when we get there." And he did. It was perfect. He just drove it right on there. We got the lines. It was all good.
Kind of like when you launched it, Keith.
Yeah.
So there were a few things wrong that needed repair. It's a big boat. There's so much that has to be done. And I think a lot of people didn't really realize the level of maintenance the boat truly needed continuously, and I think it caught up with it toward the end, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. The steering was horrible. You'd sit there and you would crank and crank and crank and crank, and the boat would start turning, and as soon as it started turning, you better be cranking the other way.
Wow.
Or you were just all over the place. So that's why Monday when I was driving it, I was doing some turns and stuff out there. I was like, this is so much better. So I was out there.
Oh, that's good.
Figure eights just having fun with it, waiting for Tacopa to come out of the channel so we could go in.
What was your maintenance schedule like? You had a regular maintenance schedule, obviously, right?
I did not do any of the maintenance.
Oh, you didn't?
Right.
No, not as captain. I mean when you were a deckhand.
No.
Oh, you didn't?
Okay.
Deckhands basically do more like cleaning, helping the customers, helping the docking and all
oh,
that.
Oh, that's kind of what I meant was the cleaning. What is the what
I don't
was
know
the,
yeah,
the
I get the passengers
like.
On board and we washed all the windows.
Oh, she does
time.
Windows. There you go.
Yeah. All the time. That was number one. Uh-huh. They have all those windows shining. And you'd board the customers, serve them drinks after we get underway.
So, you know, there were a lot of weddings and there were a lot of family gatherings on the boat. And there's been such an outpour of people reminding us that they got married on the boat, they got engaged on the boat, and they're all anxious to come back. One couple actually wants to come back and get remarried on the boat.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Several, actually.
The vessel? Okay.
I've been getting a lot inundated with emails,
okay,
Facebook.
It's not a boat. It's a vessel.
Yeah.
I get it, right?
Or the big girl.
Yeah, the big girl.
I like that one.
We'll certainly make sure we make that correction.
Right.
So, you know, I guess what comes to mind when the boat came out and you were sad because I think you were just about ready to get your pilot's license. And
yeah,
so that,
Captain Wally talked me into going and getting my license. If it wasn't for Wally, I probably wouldn't have done it, but you just wouldn't let it go.
So now you got your captain's license and you're a captain.
And the boat's out of service.
And 10 years after, you finally got to drive the boat the
I
other day.
I was so excited. I was so excited when I got that phone call. I was like, it's really going to happen because I was working on Tacopa and Rick would come on the boat. Are you ready? Are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. He goes, we're going to go in. We're going to go in. And I was like, all right, I'm so excited. And then it wouldn't happen.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Gosh, that went on for 9 years. And I was like, so I was really excited. Is it really going to happen?
That's wonderful. So we have Keith is in the studio with us today, and everybody's been waiting to hear his comments today about the boat finally making it in because, you know, we've been on the radio a few times going, it's about ready to happen, it's about ready to happen. And here it is today with the boat's in the water underneath the London Bridge, parked at our brand new dock. Keith, why don't you take us through a little bit about what your day was like, you and Aaron, I mean, all the volunteers.
And how much sleep have you gotten since?
I think all I've done is slept since.
Oh, okay.
It was before that was the problem.
Right.
So the day went off, obviously, with some issues in the beginning. You know, it's never going to be easy on a boat that's that size, that's sat out of water that long. We had some problems in the Windsor launch ramp, which actually the launch company told me before they came down that there would be. You know, they said, you know, you're not going to be off that trailer. And I asked for half an hour on the trailer. They told me, we're here all day. It's going to be a couple.
Hey, we got to give a shout out to the launch company.
Oh, yes. Gunsight Marine and Transport, Jeremy and all his crew. Amazing. And they actually came out here specifically because it was us and the Dixie Belle.
And they, this is their third time, right? Putting
third time since I've owned it, moving it. They've actually they're the ones that moved it before also.
Take that call. Hey, you know what? We got a caller, I believe. She's on hold.
I can't take that call. It's the
okay.
On the office line.
So we'll have her call in on the line. We have kind of a special guest calling in from a very special place.
Dan, where are you going? Oh, okay. All right. So, anyway, go ahead with your story, Keith. We're trying to arrange just so the listeners know.
It's like a party in here. We got people everywhere.
See, right? there's people listening on the other end of this.
Someone can open up that fridge and get some beers.
They know somebody's trying to call in from London, and I'm kind of running out of phone lines here. So I'm going to go ahead and try to make this happen one more time, see if we can.
Do you want me to keep talking while you do that? Or
yes,
are you gonna
absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
You look like you're concentrating over there.
A little bit.
So, there were some definite technical difficulties figuring things out. Once we got her going, though, her captain's here, Captain Walling, Captain Debbie, said we're going to get her on the water, open her up, and just keep her out there for a while. And that's when they took her out, and when we left Windsor, I think everybody on board, I had a lot of family, a lot of friends on board, a lot of volunteers, and I think we all thought we were going straight to the channel, but they went the opposite direction, out of way. And everyone's coming up to me saying, wait, where are we going? And I said, I just said for a ride.
Right, all right.
So, and it was great. And that's when she took her out there. And I believe Captain Debbie said she was driving at the time. I was down below running around and ecstatic with it. So I did not even know who was captaining her at the time. But
right.
That's when we got there doing circles and just kind of putting her through her paces.
Was the weather out that day, the water conditions, everything optimal?
Lake Havasu gave us the day.
Nice.
Every day before that was such a mess. I think Lake Havasu knew she was coming and said, we're going to make this happen.
Wow.
So, what a good thing.
Winds were 4 mile an hour. It was perfect.
Yeah, right. We couldn't have asked for a better day to be out there. And I think that's most likely why we were able to just go out and cruise for a while.
Right.
So we went and did a good, I would think, 15 minutes, 20 minutes out driving before we even headed towards Windsor. I didn't want to attempt
going through the channel with Tecopa coming out.
Yeah.
That channel's not big enough for both of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I wanted to time it so I would be at the buoy.
And that's a good thing to know for our future scheduling, for sure.
So yes. There's a new keel that was, I'm out.
You're good.
Okay. Yeah, there was a new keel that was installed on the boat. Did that make a difference with the driving of the bell?
I think a little bit.
Okay.
But the steering was the biggest difference.
The steering was the big thing. And Wally had a funny story about the steering wheel because it used to fall off. The bolt come off.
It was put on with a bolt.
And the wheel would just fall off.
Oh, my Lord.
And Wally had somebody up there with him, and they said, well, how does it steer? About that time the wheel falls off.
Oh, my
so
Lord.
Wally picks the wheel up, hands it to him, and says, I didn't know you tell me.
So
and he gets the bolt and gets it back on.
Keith, tell us, go ahead, tell us what people can expect. Our timelines, things like that. Give us your best estimate, because we're still got testing to do, right?
Yes.
Coast Guard is the big thing.
Yeah, so we still have a lot of work to do. This was a huge milestone, a huge step we took. Long time coming. We're so excited. However, I've been getting inundated with people asking me about pricing, tour times, things like that. We cannot figure any of that yet until the Coast Guard comes. They have to come down twice to do two separate inspections, which are both pretty elaborate, you know, processes. Mm-hmm. And assuming they – and we're at the mercy of their timeline with everything going on in the world. They don't leave San Diego as often. You know how that is. So we don't really have a real – I'm hoping within 2 months.
What kind of communication with the city are you in as far as, you know, COVID protocols and that sort of thing? Or is that a factor at all?
So far that hasn't been a huge factor just because we're not open for business. Of mm-hmm. course, based on the fact that we don't know what the protocols will be when we're open for business, it's something we haven't really had to address because we're hoping that this is all over by then, which we've all been hoping for a year now, I think.
Right.
But, so, of course, we're going to abide by whatever the city requires, you know, whatever we have to do to be in business, we're going to do to be in business. The Coast Guard, I've discussed it with them. They don't personally have any protocols. They said they're federal. They just give us a COI, they do the testing, and then leave it up to the city to decide what our capacity limits and stuff are, percentages.
So, you know, now that we've got both the original and the new owner on, we got Todd Miller with us, we got Keith. You know, Todd, do you have any questions for Keith?
No, I probably know more so than anybody what Keith has been through. He's actually not telling the whole story. There's just so many things he's dealing with.
Oh, he's holding back on it. Nice.
I didn't think it was an all-day show.
That boat's a lot of work. It was a lot of work keeping it up. I was sorry to hear that it got run down so bad, but you know, Keith has put it back together nicely it's just a lot of work. You know, I want to say that boat's 80 feet long. The hull's 55 feet. But by the time you add the paddle wheel and the gangplank, you're dealing with 80 feet of length there. And that's what makes it a little bit tricky. It's, you know, and it is a sail. When we did the stability test originally, we had 55-gallon drums on board, 20 up and 30 on the bottom deck filled with water. And we were doing the admeasure test, the stability test, and the Coast Guard would have us move, weight around, move these barrels around. And what they were trying to replicate is if 100 people all went to the starboard side and you had a 40 mile an hour wind blowing on the port side, how much is this boat going to lift? That's how they determine several things, how many passengers they'll license it for and how much it's going to roll. And, you know, so that's how it arrived at 125 passengers. It was stable enough to do that with everybody running to one side and a wind blowing on it. That's kind of what Keith is going up against now, because they're redoing all that. It'll have a brand new license. You know, I want to say too, it's a documented vessel, so the government actually can take control of that in time of war.
Oh, really? Tom, let me ask you this: how many times a year do you have to pull it out for dry dock maintenance? I imagine you have to do some work on the hull and that sort of thing, right?
So the Coast Guard does a hull inspection every 5 years. Every 5 years, it has to come out of the water, and that's when they get underneath with they've got measuring instruments, and they measure the thickness of the hull. That's an all steel hull, but electrolysis is very hard on that steel.
Right.
Oh,
right.
No kidding.
What happened to the boat? That's what
happened in November of 2009. We were taking her out for the 5 year.
Really?
And 75% of that hull did not pass.
Wow.
Electrolysis
being caused by friction, of course.
And I did not end up replacing 75.
Okay.
I ended up just doing 100%. It was easier.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
So 100% of the hull, ladies and gentlemen, is
safe.
Yeah,
no worries.
We've got basically a brand new hull. So, you know, one thing I wanted to check real quick with Keith, we're going to have a celebration when the boat is open for business, right?
Oh, of course. There's going
to
be a lot.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, know that while it was great to have everybody there when she arrived, there'll be the dedication when the boat is finally operational. We're going to invite the entire community down. It'll be a big standing ovation opportunity. And look for the Dixie Belle to be part of the London Bridge celebrations for the 50-year anniversary dedication of the London Bridge. She's going to be involved one way or the other.
Yes, thank you for inviting me to that as well, Dan.
No problem. We're down to about 2 minutes, Dan. Okay. Is there something you wanted to do?
You know, we missed a caller, but I'm going to wrap it up for her since we're not able to get her online. We actually had a gal named Sierra. Her family drove in from California to see the boat going in. She told them about the boat because she saw the post in England. And so we want to give a shout-out to Sierra calling in from London, England, to tell us how she saw it posted all the way across the pond. And so the Belle has taken on a really major international at this point presence. And so everybody wanted to hear about her arrival back into the water. So, you know, Keith, as we wrap this thing up and Todd, you know, having you online, we're really expecting you to be down there at that dedication. We're going to keep you informed so that you can be there. I know a lot of people would love to see you on site. And obviously, I know the town's waiting to see this boat come back into action with the beer cruises, the cocktail cruises. It will come with a fully stocked bar. It will have multiple local beers. It will have all kinds of things and catering capabilities. So it's going to really fill a really big void that we haven't had on the water in a long time, right, Keith?
Yes, definitely. I can't even say all the stuff we're going to do with it, but just watch our Facebook page. We now have that going. We'll keep everyone posted. We'll keep moving. I know we're running out of time. There's tons of sponsors I'd love to thank. You can see them on the sides of the boat. I'm not going to have time to do that right now, but
we got to thank Aaron Ashbaugh, his blood, sweat, and tears into this boat.
We've got
Aaron
all the volunteers.
Aaron was so instrumental, and the entire volunteer crew.
All the volunteers.
Working
all of our
sponsors. On it daily.
Look at them on the side of the boat. You'll see them there. Okay. We're adding more day by day. So.
You had one gentleman that was actually 92 years old, I heard.
Right.
Yes.
He was working on the boat.
Wow.
So we'll have Keith and the crew back on the show again for another update as we get ready for that celebration. And I think we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, we still have Todd. So
we got Todd.
I thought you wanted to wrap it up with him, too.
You know, Todd, I want to wrap this up and thank you from our entire community for coming up with the design and concept to bring this boat to light. And I know at one point when you saw it in the yard dead about 10 years ago that your heart sunk, but I'm glad that you're happy that the group got together, purchased it, and refurbished it. Any last thoughts on that?
You know, I can't thank you guys, Keith and Dan. I just can't thank you enough for undertaking this and getting her back on the water. You're right. My heart was broken, but she's back on the water, and it's good for Havasu lots of good years to you, Keith.
And I can't wait
good
to
luck.
See you down here on it with me, Todd.
All right.
Yeah, keep me posted on it.
Yep, we'll do.
All right, we have
good.
To take a break.
All right.
All right, thanks, Todd. Appreciate it. All right, we are going to go ahead and go to break then.
Yep.
And again, you're listening to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. We've got Keith Fernung here, Dan De Los Santos, Captain Wally, Captain Debbie. Special thanks to Todd Miller. And we got a number for Sierra, but we just don't have another hour.
Right, right.
So, all right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Don't know the reason. Stay there all season.
And welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul Lavoie. We have about 30 seconds. Dan De Los Santos tells me we're going to be talking about events leading up to the 50-year dedication of the London Bridge, and pretty much we'll go back in time 50 years during the next show, which is scheduled for April 7th. Larry Tuneforce is up next with Speak Out 2.0 after news and a short break. I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. For Dan De Los Santos, have a great day.